we should remember in prayer that there are some believers in Seattle. We had a big earthquake there. It's an amazing thing that you have 7 points and you don't see the city buildings falling down, but just a few things happening. But remember, we're at that time now that anything can happen. Amen? Yeah. Anything can happen. We're at the end. It's scary, but that's what it is, you know. Studying the scriptures, studying about the Thyatira church age, sometimes I have to close my Bible and just don't think about anything because it really gets you, you know. You see how progressively the Roman Catholic Church have taken over and destroyed the people. And on the other hand, you can see the Thyatira church there, how they had prepared themselves to fail. The environment there was pure hedonistic. There was nothing there to be proud about. And I pray so the Lord will help us tonight to make some points that will strengthen us so we don't fall in the same areas. The book of Revelation, the second chapter, we'll be reading two verses, Revelation 2, starting from the 18th verse. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, this thing say the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now let me just a minute say something about translation here. The Word of God is not repetitious. The Word of God is the same, but doesn't repeat itself. We know Brother Brown told us that God's not a repetitious God. And if you look at the 19th verse, he says, I know thy works. And on the last part of the 19th verse, he says, and thy works again. And the last will be more than the first. Let me try to translate it for you, and then we'll go on from there to get some things out. Ida Taerasu, I have seen your works, and tin agapin, and your love, and tin pistin, and your faith, and the diakonia and ipomoni, and the communion that you have with the patience. Και τα έργα σου τα έσκατα, and the works that are at the end, πλήωνα προπάντων, greater than ever before. So it's not two times repetitious works and works. He speaks about something has happened here to the that church, the Thyatira church, that he goes to the end. He says, I have seen your works and your faith, love and peace and faith. And also he refers to the erosu, the works which have been done at the end, that they are greater than before. You know, works can be true, but we have to make sure that's God in the works. Years ago, I used to preach without notes. Then I used to study and come and remember my notes. But then now you're getting older, and you have to start looking a little different and write your notes down. But I have been really enthused studying the church ages, and now I see this Thyatira, one of the great statements that has been made. The statement is, say, the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, this is the first time that word appears, the statement, the Son of God. That statement appears, there's no other time that this statement appears in the book of Revelation, and only at this time. Because our Lord identifies himself as the Son of God. The power of authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's him. When we start looking about Thyatira, it was founded by Seleucidae, but since B.C. 190, it had been in the hands of the Roman people. So you can tell right away, the Roman people influenced that church there, and there was a big spiritual battle in that Thyatira church age. We think sometimes that doesn't make any difference where you stay. The Lord is going to keep you. I believe the Lord is going to keep you and can keep you if the Lord places you there. But I didn't recommend to anybody to build a home next to a bar and raise children, because that's not the location to build a home, correct? You know, have to use wisdom. And many problems that we have is sometimes with the environment, the children, the friends that they have. The parents try very faithfully to correct the children, don't do that, don't do this. And sometimes the children rebel. But just remember, daddy and mother have some experience and know a little bit what they are talking about. Thyatira was situated on the old Roman road between Pergamos and Sardis there. It was right in the middle there, about 48 miles from Pergamos and 27 miles from Sardis. So really, it can communicate both directions. The city was a very beautiful city in the mountain. It's only 60 miles from the Aegean Sea shore there. So there's a beauty in that church there. And I try to read as much as I can. Now, if you go there and you start looking at the little Thyatira community, you'll find out, or you're going to learn, that there's nothing left that symbolizes a church there, nothing at all. It's all controlled by the Turks and, you know, Muslims and everything you can imagine. But as far as I know, as far as I read, there's no record of the presence of there's a church there. The Thyatira deity was a temple of the Apollo. Listen to that very close now. Because Satan will try to impersonate everything that Christianity has. The temple of Apollo, the Thyatira people, they give to Apollo names and adore him because he was supposed to be their sun god. Remember, was an object of worship, you call them sun god. Now, as Diana of Ephesus and Esculapius of Pergamos, the Apollo was to the Thyatirans, the deity of Apollo. This was the place that they worshipped. It was, and who is that man? Quite often, these things are associated from the type of worship that you do and what this man is. Like all the gods, you remember the goddess Aphrodite was the beauty of the goddess, and so on. When you start reading about the condition of Thyatira, Apollo believed to be the son of Zeus. Now, who is Zeus? He's Zeus supposed to be the god of the gods. In other words, all the gods that you can see, there was one god that was above all of them, and that was Zeus. Now, his wife was Latona, out of her, of course, who was worshipped as a god of light. Now, listen, Christianity, Christ is the light. They're bringing it very close now to say, we got it right here, heathenism. This was the god that brought daylight. They used to go there before daylight time in the statue of Apollo. And they used to worship Apollo to give them a sunny day, a good day, and the harvest time and so on. So you had an object of worship there. He's going to bring the sun up. Nobody else can do it except Apollo. Now he was called the bright, a life-giving. Remember this, the bright and loving, life-giving, with other words, going out to the creation, he's the one that created. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ created and nobody else created. But here, in that case, they believe that it's Apollo that created. He was called the bright light and was pure and holy. He was considered to be the enemy of darkness. How close you can get to Christianity than this. You try to tell them the truth in Christianity there, and they say, we believe the same thing. have no differences there. But still, the object of worship was Apollo, who was a heathen god, really. Now, Apollo was celebrating his birthday the seventh day. Remember this, back to Christianity, the seventh day. And also, he got of the month, but also he got celebrating also the first day of the moon was Apollo's day. And the people, when the moon used to get up the first day, they used to go in the square, and they're waiting for their god to come up from there. In other words, they had a statue there in one side, and the other side, they are waiting to see that statue to raise the sun. It was a heathen worship. It's clear statement in Revelation 2:17, the Son of God we hear now. What's the Son of God? There must be a reason for this. Remember, that's the only time in the book of Revelation that you have the statement, the Son of God. And this, one of the most important reasons is what? To reveal that the Son of God is speaking. Now, God's going to be speaking. His description, of course, in that verse, is the Son of God who had his eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fire brass. This kind of a statement now, we are moving to see. You say, what happened then to Thyatira? Was Satan before Jesus, so on? No, Jesus has his own elect, and there are very few who have promised this in the Scriptures. But we try to find out the condition that they live and the failures that they make, so we don't do the same mistakes. You know, we learn by mistakes sometimes. Sometimes you learn by mistakes of others. And if you study the Scriptures, you find out Revelations 3, the last portion of that chapter about the Laodicean church age, that the Ram has been speaking. He says, all these spirits got together for the end, and the battle is so great. Now, as God in flesh, they believe that He is supreme. Now, we know that Christ is the supreme God. And if sin is committed in the church, which is, you know, against His divine authority, He will execute His divine justice. God will never leave things without being just. He's no respecter of persons. He's going to treat me and you the same way. It depends how much you violate the Word of God. Because He's God and the only living and true God, He's going to answer. Now, the Son of God, Apollo, with all the splendor that he has as an idol, and was, of course, we look at Jehovah because God is the only object of worship. God is the only object of worship, regardless of how good we are. And we're going to see on the following verse some things that they had, that they were deep and good things, these people. But God says, I have one thing against you, and you started on Jezebel. Now, if you look at the Son of God, Apollo, with all his splendor and everything as an idol, you can never compare him with Jehovah. But the people were blinded. And when the people get blinded, they don't realize it's happened. Now, let me mention this. The people can be backsliding and they don't even know it's happening to them. You know that? They can still feel that they are arraying the bride, ready for the rapture, and they can be missing the rapture without even knowing it's happening to them. So, my opinion is a constant relation with Jesus Christ, fellowship in the assembly of God, and then I'm not talking about denomination, about a church, fellowship in there, study the Word of God, listen tapes, and read the Bible constantly. And remove everything that distracts us from getting closer to the Lord. I have friends of mine, and of course, we are in an automated age, and they feel what they are going to do. They are going to go ahead and go to the internet and make a sermon in 10 minutes or 15 minutes and go. I don't see that. I don't agree with it. I think you should spend time and wait on the Lord instead of splicing cords, splicing this and splicing that. And I see them deteriorating because sometimes if we don't want it, we can pick up things from the internet that's not God. And all these are seeds that can come into our minds, into our hearts. And I believe kind of the old fashioned that you pray and wait on the Lord. And if the Lord has nothing for you to say, to be more honest, you say, I have nothing to say, we can play a tape or do something, go to our knees and pray. Because any other way, I feel, what do? We use the intellect to try to penetrate. Now, the eyes were bright, penetrating like a flame of fire, and their feet were dazzling, you know, as liquid brass. That word there is not just like fine brass. It was boiling like brass. Now you see what this means. Brass is judgment. That has brought God to the point to start pouring His wrath upon His people. And we don't realize when God removes His hand and His wrath falls upon us, then you have no way to go. You cannot escape from nowhere. So we better make sure that we are ready all the time to meet the Lord. These Thyatiran people, they thought, of course, their burning eyes could pierce through and penetrate. And what happened, can look at the church in the depths of their corruption. So this Thyatira church, like we're going to see in the following verse, like I said, they had some goodness, some excellent things. Brother Branham is speaking about the condition of that. In paragraph 42, he said that, when he comes now, he is a priest. When he was here in the earth, he was a prophet, God's prophet. Now he took his own blood and went before the Father, which makes him a priest. Then he comes back, he'll be a king, prophet, priest, king. He was God prophet. He was an eagle. He was God priest. He was a lamb. When he comes back, he'll be a lion, the king of the tribe of Judah to reign. But between his priestly operation, when the sanctuary is left, then he says, we found him standing there. And John said that he was in a spirit on the Lord's day. Not the seventh day, but the Lord's day. And we found him in the Lord's day when he seems his Lord and when his hair is white as snow. And we know that he is the present judge. He refers to Christ that at that time he will appear like a judge. When we look at the eyes there that we described there, or flame, not only indicates the spirit of searching power, but also the wrath of the Son of God. I have no doubt that when God looks you through, He can't hide anything. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. If the blood is not there, we are in trouble. So easy through the church ages to see the people starting well, and then rely on works, twice there for works, present and past. Rely on things that probably they might have merits. But unless you continue with God and the Spirit of the Lord is life to you to convict you, then you have problems. I believe myself the cancer of the last day's message, you know what it is? The people left the Spirit. And now there's nothing to convict them. They got the letter and keep on going dead and keep on going more dead and more dead. So without the Spirit, there's no way for us to survive. And I recommend you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, keep on praying. Say, Lord, give me that Spirit. Right now we have knowledge of certain amount of truths. But when the Spirit comes, He doesn't have to deal with us with the opinion of somebody else. He will tear us inside until we do the right thing. We are so easy, wrapped up to say, this is this, do this and don't do that. But when I'm scared, there are depths in the scriptures that we don't understand them. You know, you can read the scripture. The scripture says, do this, and the abomination for a woman wearing a garment pertains to a man. Timothy and Thessalonians speak about the last days will be falling away, the children disobedient to their parents, and on and on and on. But let me tell you something. Unless the Spirit of God is in you to fulfill it, you are fulfilling everything that you do under the power of the law, and that doesn't come. It has to be the Spirit of God in you to stir you up. You say, there's something here. Something that I cannot do. And he said, he paid the price. How he paid the price when I cannot do? Then you realize, you get closer to him when he fills you with the Spirit. You don't try to be good. The Spirit of the Lord is in you, and if you fail, will convict you and restore you back to himself. That's why I always look at some people. Now, I have been called everything, and one of the things that I have been called was legalist. And you ask the people, what's legalism? They don't know. They look at you, stare at your eyes. They don't know what they're talking about. Friends, legalism is everything we do with the power of the flesh. We let the Spirit of God work in us. He says, Lord, I surrender everything. I give you everything. Lord, lead me and guide me. And it's a very hard thing in our day to wait on the Lord for his leadership. You try to study sometimes, and your mind goes right and left, and you say, I'm going to study this, I'm going to study that. And then you stop for a minute, and you say, who is doing it anyway? And you say, stop, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the longer you wait, God gives you the opposite instead of what you have planned already. Other times, sometimes you try to study, and it's a subject that we know pretty good, you know, and we can spread through the scriptures. But, you know, it depends what God wants us to do. Since we push the Spirit out, we have our courts, we have our computers, we have everything. But just remember, that doesn't substitute the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not there, we are dead, dead, dead all the way through. Brother was telling me, I said, I tell you what, I have a little New Testament under my pillow. And you know, I feel pretty confident. You can call it superstitious, but sometimes at night I would like to stretch my head and hold that little New Testament and go to sleep by holding the Bible. There's something in it. You know that? Acknowledge that that's the power of God. Now, if you study the Word, fine brass, you find out chalcolivano, which means that is burning, it's boiling, it's at a point that judgment cannot stand anymore. On the following verse, we think that Thyatira, they were good people, they were doing everything that they could and so on. But God is not speaking about that. We cannot substitute works and say God accepts us when we have Jezebel running all over the place. And what is Jezebel? The ecclesiastical system, our doctrines, our paganist holidays that we got sometimes. I mean, here's Easter coming, Easter eggs and this stuff. People should read a little bit to find out what's happening. Who put these things together? You know, here's a basket with some eggs and a little duck in there or something, you know. That has nothing to do with God. This is heathenism. Now, God looks at his things, and he comes on the next verse and says, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. I have no question. I know everything about you, and I know your works, and I know I'm going to say something now. He says, also, he says, your love and charity. These people have love. You go in, and the churches, God bless you, God bless you. We love you. Good to see you. Let's go and eat together. And you're welcome. But that's not the gospel. Go and eat as much as you want to. Go and celebrate anything you want to. But don't substitute the Holy Spirit with imitations of love. You know, you ask the people sometimes, they say, I have love. Love is corrective, and love outside of the scriptures is no good. When you see the gospel here, what he tells us, and so often we say, but they have love. I agree with love. But let's take the word together to see if love is pure or not. They can teach Antichrist doctrines and still say we have love, you know. And the people love it. The people do what you can for them and go to eat and talk together and visit their homes. And that's religion to them. But here the Thyatira church age says, I know thy works and your love and service. They were serving the Lord. Their service probably was involved on missionary endeavors and everything that you can imagine. God knew their works, knew their love, and knew what? Their service. And faith. You say, they got faith, they got everything. Just wait a minute. This is the people that we're going to see, starting from the following verse, that we'll start talking about the woman Jezebel. Sounds like flattering. Sounds like this church had everything, but they did not have it. Any time that we try to do things with the flesh, there's something wrong. You know, I came out from groups that you go to the service, and the first thing they say, who's going to give $20? Who's going to give $50? To me, I feel that's an abomination, a filthiness, you know, filthiness. They should consider reading the Didache of the supposed to be of the, right after the disciples, that they said any time you mention money at the church, you're a false prophet. What we're doing now? These people had love. They served the Lord. What happened? They had faith and they had patience. What else do you want? I mean, when God says that they have it, they have it. What else do you expect out of them? Now, and he says in the patience, and he says the latest works that you do, and that's the last, and you see more than the first. With other words, these people were building so-called thing that it is spiritual, but it was not spiritual. Let's be careful. And I don't know of any best way to evaluate yourself but through Calvary. I believe the believer should reach a state that he's so much crucified with Christ that he will be afraid to do works and make imitations of love if he doesn't have it. The Lord will convict him and they put him in a state that the Spirit is doing and we are not doing. This is a high form of deception here. All these qualities are good. But when you look at these good qualities and so on, God says, nevertheless, I have a few things against thee. I thought they have everything. Listen, if we take literally, if you ignore it for a minute, that's done in the flesh. If you take it, he says, I know that works. The pastor gets up and says, now, he says, we're going to do this and this and that. How many are going to visit Sister Betty Jones at the hospital and so on? Plenty of works. Should this be done? Absolutely. But it's because of routine and the flesh is doing it, it is no good. You have to come in relation with Jesus Christ to have the leading of the Spirit to know what we're doing. Because if we do things and we're missing them, we justify ourselves. We practice religion, and we come back to ourselves. We feel good. I have done this. I have done this. I helped the poor sister. I went to her home. And you know, sometimes you hear this big story of big achievements that we do. But a person that's dead in Christ says nothing. He says, Lord, pray for my sister inside. Help my sister. I want to. People will go, and sometimes and a person of need, they will give them a check of $100. They'll go around the church and say, I gave her $100. That's not God, that's Satan. We should be very careful what we do. Thyatira had the whole thing right there. Listen right from the beginning. Number one, they had works. They had love. There was no friction. The Bible said that. What else they have? They service. They had to serve the Lord. Faith. Probably they make a lot of miracles there. Brother Brown told us, he says, you can have the gift of faith and not even saved. So all these things there, they were qualities of a good church. But God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. He says they have patience. In other words, Lord will wait on you, and so on. But there's something there that's happening. All the attributes of the Scriptures, you can try to fulfill them. And says, Lord, I'm going to love. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about offending a brother or a sister, and you pick up the phone, and you say, brother, forgive me, and I'm sorry for that, and so on. You think you were with love, and you did something. But you know, you hang up the phone, feel so good about yourself. Your pride, your nose is so high, you're exalted. Clean lips. A man was telling me, he says, well, I was there in that church, and I went to that church, and he says, the minister was the first one came to be prayed for. You know, the scriptural way is the minister came to be prayed for first. And that should be. Because if you have the need of the people and yourself, you go first on at the altar. When Brother Neville was the pastor in the tabernacle, and Brother Neville used to give an altar call, you know who was the first one to go right at the altar? Brother Branham. What are we doing anyway? We try to get glory that I preach and a preacher came even to the altar. Sometimes you feel to slap them and tell them, sit down, you're not worth it. But with death to self, have nothing to be exalted. And Brother Branham was the first one, Brother Hunter was telling me about these things. The first one at the altar. We're not going to be embarrassed to go to the altar. If we realize our needs, that's where we belong. You know, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. But these people now, after they had these qualities, they had faith. With faith, you can do lots of things. Probably the gift of faith is operating among them. But remember, faith can be sounding brass if you don't take it the right way. And these people, of course, they have patience. Somebody was not a Christian. They said, well, wait until they get saved. And they got love. They pray. All these things. All these qualities. You say, Brother David, wait a minute. This is the gift of the Spirit. Whatever you want to call it. It's the gift of the Spirit, not the gift of the flesh, my brother. Just remember that contrast. It's one thing to talk about the gift of the Spirit. It's another thing to try to fulfill that with the gift of the flesh. Like we're going to see in the following verse, Jezebel appears all of a sudden. And what Jezebel, of course, was doing, and we're going to see, they've had some works lately that they were burning the town. Lately, he says, you got great works. You have these works. In other words, here is an evidence that a preacher without the revelation of the last day's message in the Scriptures can stand up and says, all of us should be like the five-tower church age. They had everything. They had works. They have love. They had service. All these things. But God says, listen to this. Never, notwithstanding, are the few things against me. In other words, he tears the playhouse down and start getting into business about how they start worshiping Jezebel and what happened. Now, Jezebel, we know, she was the wife of Ahab. And if you read 1 Kings 17 and 18, you'll find out what Jezebel was. And anything that Jezebel wants, Ahab says, yes, dear, we have to do that. Because he was married to her. Jezebel stands many times as a perverted church. And what we can do sometimes, we can take all these attributes and say, we are doing that. And you cannot argue. You go to church and glad to have your sister such and such and brother such and such stand up. Give a word of testimony, and the people feel amen, amen, amen all over. And you go down to preach, and when you preach, of course, there's about half a dozen amen Charlies in the front. Amen, amen, you know. What is it, flesh? Instead of having the Spirit,
tearing us apart in the condition that we are. Instead of having an example, Jesus Christ, instead of seeing what the prophet has done, the first one on the altar when Brother Neville was preaching. What is these things? They had everything, but they had nothing. They had a church. That's right. But God now started looking. So whatever you try to claim, he said, I know about these things. I'm not going to fuss with you. I know what's going on. I can see through my eyes like a flame of fire. And I can see through and read each one of your hearts. And you're deceiving. Because, listen to the reason, you know. He says, there are suffers that woman Jezebel, who's calling herself a prophetess, to teach us how to do the servants to commit fornication and meet things sacrificed into idols. This is the charge. I'm going to stop in a minute because that Jezebel is a complete chapter by itself. He says, thou sufferest the woman Jezebel. You're doing it. You permit these things to happen. And then you claim all these things, and I said, that's what it is. But you know, the evidence that you don't have, what's on verse 19, in a spirit form, is the answer of the 20th verse, that what you claim to have, you don't really have it. You have it in the flesh? Absolutely. I like the statement that I heard one time from a brother, and that statement was saying this, people want to do great works and faith and everything because they are proud to be humble. You think of that, friends? Wouldn't it be beautiful to have the Holy Spirit moving in us and to wake you up, to wake Gordon up and pray for Patricia tonight. Pray for Brother Craig. Pray for Valida. Pray for this. Pray for that. The Spirit is doing it, you know. Instead of saying in the morning, Lord bless us to Patricia. Amen. Next Sunday will come around, I pray for you. You know what I mean? That's not God. You're blaspheming and don't even know it. You look at these things, how close the body of Christ should be in sincerity of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit and keep on going. You know? When you come to sometimes, I'm not talking about here, sometimes some of the assemblies, and you go there and they have a pipe like everything, God bless you, Brother Dave, God bless you. Next day, it's prayer meeting. I'll be only 2 out of 500 in the prayer room. Where are the rest of them? Study for Tara. Let's don't be like them. Let's obey the Lord. Let's see what God has to say. Let's see why they permitted Jezebel to come in there and make a mess out of it. I believe God has some lessons here for us. We think that study the church ages, go through for a minute and pick up a few words. No. Let's pray and look at it very close. These people had all these qualities. But just one thing against it. And if you take the Jezebel spirit, you'll find out the rest of them were exercised by the flesh and not by the Spirit. And God knows that. He says, you can't hide anything from me. I can see through you. And what is on the top of that? He says, brass. Boiling brass with his judgment. Lord, don't you consider about this time good qualities that they had? I don't know you. Is it true in the scriptures we read, we have done great works in your name? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What's the work of iniquity? I know me as a transgressor of the law. How you transgress the law? The law by fulfilling by the power of the flesh. I read a book on time, and in that book it says, how do you reject Christ? How do you reject Christ? And the more I studied, the more I realized the man had some things to say. Because he was saying, the law was there, but Christ came down to fulfill the law because he was not able. None of us can fulfill the law. None of us. Jesus came to fulfill the law, so we, His Spirit, can be in us to fulfill the law. And what happened? We push it on the side. I can do it. We can do nothing, my friend. He has to do it, or we cannot do it. When I see these things, I say, Lord, how many are going to be in the rapture? Follow me? And I learned what Paul was saying about be dead to yourself. You know, we don't have to brag about anything. When you go home, start praying, Lord, give me a burden for somebody, the lost or something. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter. I want to be praying for them. And just dwell in it. When God says pray for that young fellow, that young lady, stay in your mind with it. Lord, save their soul. Help them, Lord. Restore them to yourself. Dwell in it. Dwell in it. And God that sees you in the secret, He'll fulfill your request. Then don't brag. Leave it alone, because He did it. You didn't do it. That's beautiful how the scripture works. Am I right? Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus. Search me, O God. I just brought a Craig to close us in a word of prayer tonight. Search me. How many of these things I'm doing with the flesh and how many we do with the power of the Spirit. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. And all my soul today. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. May this be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.